podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, welcome to podcast number 31 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. On today's podcast, Charlie Brooker, Quastrology, your £5 flat fee fines, and another early learning X list. Let's dive in like a diver. Diving. Dive into me. It's XFM.
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace.
Good morning, it is 7:10. I've just been singing. Just been singing an Enemy song, wasn't I? We found out in the last few days that Matt Dyson, very much the Susan Boyle of this programme.
Yeah.
Just every now and again, just opens his mouth, doesn't he? And out comes this glorious kind of angelic.
It's a strong
like a chorus of angels.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not just a strong vocal. It's a very commercial voice.
When it overtakes me, it just happens. I can't stop.
Is that right? Yeah. Never happens on air, weirdly.
Well, no.
Not yet.
It tends to be during the song.
So we have a look at the papers.
Yes.
This is... I think this will appeal to you, Matt. This will appeal to you. It's all about an Accrington Stanley fan. Big fan of Accrington Stanley.
Yeah.
Who travelled all the way from Brazil just to watch Accrington Stanley. And they lost. He's a 24-year-old. He fell in love with the club after watching Accrington Stanley triumph over Nottingham Forest, Matt.
Yeah.
What's your team again?
Nottingham Forest.
Right. Because isn't Accrington Stanley, isn't that the go-to, the joke
yeah.
team?
Yeah, well, when was this?
So Accrington Stanley.
When was this game?
Even the one that people make fun of beat your team, Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
The Blues. The Reds.
The Garibaldi Reds. You know.
The Garibaldi Reds?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
What's the type of red?
I've never heard of Garibaldi
Italy.
Red.
I know, yeah. Well, that's where we got our colour from. Italy.
What do you mean?
It's a type of red.
They only have in Italy?
Oh, no, the Garibaldi.
What is it about this red that only...
in Italy.
Right.
I'm not sure what they are, but there's some people in Italy, and they have this sort of red colour.
Proud history.
Yeah.
Never write the biography of Nottingham Forest. You don't even know. I mean, chapter one would just be about the colour, wouldn't it? The Garibaldi red is a colour they only have in Italy.
It was a specific type of colour.
Looking it up on Wikipedia. Straight to Wikipedia. That's where he gets his news.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace. And David, describe the man to my immediate right.
Well, he's sat down, are you. He's not using his headphones.
No.
And he is wearing a cream to off-white hoodie.
He is. He's breaking all the rules. That's what he's known for. It's Charlie Brooker.
Hello.
Hello, Charlie. How are you?
I'm all right.
Thanks for swinging by.
That's all right. No, I mean, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not really dressed... I don't know what I'm dressed like a teenager. It's a desperate bid to cling on to some kind of last remaining atoms of youth.
It works for you, Charlie. That's the important thing. Well done. And thanks for coming by. Today, of course, Black Mirror is out on DVD.
On DVD.
I mean, what's your writing process?
What I was hoping to do with this series was to create something that could become an ongoing thing, kind of sneaking one-off plays back onto television.
Yeah, I was going to say that's kind of what you've ended up doing.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, because I mean, you know, Tales of the Unexpected, The Twilight Zone, all of the Hammer House of Horror.
Yeah,
I used to love watching those when I was. Yeah, I mean, you'd sort of stay up. You know, when I was younger, you'd stay up late and watch. The Twilight Zone was often broadcast like at midnight or something on Channel 4 or BBC 2, and Hammer House of Horror. I remember staying up late to watch those. And what was fun about them was that you didn't know what you were going to get.
Mm.
You knew it would have a certain tone.
Mm.
And sometimes they do light, humorous episodes, and that was always a crushing disappointment.
Real disappointment, exactly.
Yeah, which was ironically the opposite of what they were trying to do. but I think what was fun was the fact that you didn't know what you were going to get when you opened the box, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't know what you're going to get. But you're right, the humorous episode of Twilight Zone was always a crushing disappointment.
Mm.
Second only probably to the moment where you're waiting for the cartoons and you hear instead the announcer say, and now an award-winning animation from Czechoslovakia. Those moments were just...
Well, although those were bleak and harrowing.
Yeah,
they had their all those rubbish Tom and Jerry ones. Do you remember there were some Tom and Jerry ones were rubbish? And they'd have like a different opening. They'd have a slightly different opening that looked like they go now Tom and Jerry.
Oh, right.
And you think, oh, brilliant! There's like 5 minutes of racism and violence. and then it would be a, sort of one of the sanitised ones from the 60s or something.
Yeah.
And it was just so depressing. You knew no one was going to get anything painful rammed in their eye.
No, absolutely.
No teeth were going to come flying
out. I can't remember the plot of a single Tom and Jerry. I've just realised there's a massive gap in my knowledge.
Weirdly, I remember seeing a clip from one not that long ago that they're no longer allowed to show because Tom smokes a cigar.
That's
right? It's not to do with the violence, it's that he smokes it.
Really? Mm. Well, it's quite right. Cats should not do that in this day and age. The great thing we were saying about Black Mirror is if people are coming to it and they don't know what to expect, even based on what we've been talking about, it'll be a marvellous kind of surprise for them when they stick the DVD in and see what it is.
Yes, I mean, it was interesting. When the first episode went out, I was watching the reaction on Twitter, which you can't not do if you've got a show going out on the TV. You can't not do that. And it's often a roller coaster ride of emotions.
I can imagine. I imagine some things have been seared onto your memory, some comments from some people.
Not really. Not individual comments, because there was such a huge wave of people. There was a sort of wave of what I would call lolling disgust at one point, just a lot of sort of OMGing. And that's the thing, if you look on Twitter, it's always a criticism that leaps out at you. Uh-huh. You think, that's not fair. Yeah. Who the hell are you?
Yeah.
But I can't really complain because I spent years writing horrible things about all sorts of people.
Absolutely.
So you know, I'm the last person to complain about that.
At one point, Charlie, in one of his reviews, said that I should be hung upside down in a box of rats.
Yeah, sorry about that. If it's any consolation, I always discover that when I've written something unpleasant about something, then when I meet them, they turn out to be really nice. Every single time. That's how karma works.
Yeah. And you started off as a video games journalist.
Yes, that's right. I did. I don't think I was that good a video games journalist.
Oh, really?
Well, no, I mean, I was... If you go back and look at the reviews I wrote, which I don't recommend because there's a lot of boring talk about sort of...
Parallax scrolling.
Parallax. By then it was... What was it? It was sort of polygon counts.
Polygon counts?
There's a lot of stuff about polygon counts.
Right.
And texture mapping. That's why it's really not... There's a whole paragraph...
So you know, every time you mention texture mapping, an alarm goes off here. It means
we're... I mean, there's a fire.
There's a flashing light going off. It means we're losing listeners, Charlie, because talking about parallax scrolling.
Well, no,
as radios go off all across the country, the lights start going, make it interesting. Stop talking video games. Black Mirror, that is out now on DVD. Charlie Brooker, everybody, deserves to be hung upside down in a box of rats. I've wanted to say that for years. Cheers, Charlie.
Thank you.
XFM. As a kid, he's only 7. And he has a pirate flag in his garden, right? Kids love pirates. Little boys love pirates. We all love pirates. So he stuck a flag in his garden, you know. And that was the end of it, as far as everyone was concerned. Ooh. And then the council walked past, noticed this.
No.
And wrote...
The busybodies.
the thought police. Yeah. The bean counters. Yeah. The suits.
Yeah.
Well, the council here.
The crunches.
They sent them a threatening letter. Advising him that permission is required from the council's planning department for the display of any skull and crossbones flags, because it is, of course, contrary to Class H of Schedule 1.
Oh, yes.
It's an offence to advertise. So they've accused him of advertising. And everyone's looked into this. And the skull and crossbones is technically deemed advertising, as it attracts attention to a cause. In this case, the cause of piracy. And, you know... I kind of agree with the council. I think there's too many pirates. I think piracy should be certainly frowned upon at best, but certainly not advertised or encouraged. not by the next generation either, man.
Yeah, they're getting them young, aren't they, these days?
Getting them young, aren't they? And this kid, he's only 7, he's advertising piracy.
Should be in the Cub Scouts, not becoming a pirate.
Matt, as usual, I agree with you, and I don't understand why it is that you don't have a column in the Daily Mail.
We are... The greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Yesterday after the show, myself and Dave here, we went to a fancy hotel, didn't we?
Yeah.
Again, that always sounds weird when I say that. I have to find some way of rephrasing it. But we went to a fancy hotel to meet John Cusack. Super cool man, dressed all in black, wasn't he?
He was.
Like a black scarf wrapped around jet black hair.
Yeah.
Black jacket, black t-shirt, black trousers. He looks... super cool, but he seemed to have decided just to stop at the ankles, didn't he? He's like getting dressed. He probably gets dressed from the top down and just ran out of cool. And he looked at my shoes, my sort of boots, and he was coveting them. It was slightly uncomfortable, just coveting my boots, because he was wearing shoes
Oh, I think I said this to him at one point, that were really only suitable for an 11-year-old boy.
Really?
Yeah, and he didn't mind. He knew it. He raised
what
issue.
What were they?
Like, kind of weird, weren't they? They were sort of like those, I don't know if they were sort of K-Swiss or whatever they're called, but they're kind of puffy and plastic. Like Batman shoes you'd buy off a market. Yeah.
Some bits were shiny.
Very shiny bits. Yeah. Oh, and wow. Other bits weren't.
Did they have lights at the back that lit up when you walked?
He might as well have been wearing, what are they called, Heelys.
Yeah, Heelys.
You know what I mean? Just suddenly clicked his thing. And then just gled off. You know, well, that would be quite cool, take away from that. So anyway, so next week we're going to play the John Cusack interview in full because his new film is out next week. It's more culturally relevant to you at that stage.
That's
right. Yeah, it's nothing to do with PRs and embargoes. But let's break...
culturally relevant.
Yeah, let's shut up. Let's break the embargo anyway, just by playing just a sneak preview.
If I had those boots, I'd be much cooler. Because what I'm wearing.
I am wearing.
Look what you're wearing. I'd like to get those shoes from you by the end of the interview. Is there any way I could? Is there any way I can buy those shoes?
I can give you one of these shoes.
I need those shoes.
And he was absolutely serious. And it went on, and it got a little bit uncomfortable.
Hello, confirm listener Guy here. I want to phone in about that last article. I think it's disgusting. What are they teaching in school these days? In my day, we certainly knew about Regulation 1, Schedule H of pirate flags. What's going on? We are...
Now, Sean, are you ready to play Quiz Face?
I certainly am.
Well, you should know the rules by now, Sean, so let's get quizzical.
Quastrology.
Oh, yes, exactly. So, Sean, it's Quastrology this week. This is a German format I bought last weekend from Krankenhaus, Germany's smallest production company, which, interestingly, has just gone into receivership. Thankfully, funds had not quite left my account, Sean, before the company went bust, meaning that although contracts have been signed and the format is technically mine, there is no legal reason for me to continue the transfer of any monies. Though my thoughts are with Gunther, Klaus, and all the guys at Krankenhaus at this very difficult time. Let the fun begin! Okay, we begin as always, Sean, with round 8, Scorpio.
Scorpio!
Boom, straight in with Scorpio. Sean, in at the deep end. What star sign are you?
I believe I'm a Capricorn.
Correct. No, you're a Taurus. He should be all right, though. The Scorpio is in the sky. Look at him. He's primed, isn't he? He's primed and he's furious. Listen to his scissor-like pincers. He's snipping up the cosmos. A little pair of scissors. He's cut a hole in the fabric of the universe, Sean. So, with that in mind, you know what's coming. Do you want to rip, stink, or bugle?
Bugle.
You're saying bugle... Excellent work. That's a ding. Quick star fact spot prize for you, Sean. Black holes are actually off-black in colour, while most stars end their celestial lives as white dwarfs. Though, of course, you can't say white dwarf anymore. Okay, Scorpio is rising. For 10 points, you know the deal. Rip, stink or bugle?
I think this time we'll have to stink.
You're going
to
stink. Good move. A brave move there. Another quick star fact spot prize for you. When a fireball explodes in the sky, it's actually called a bolide, and not to be confused with a bollard, which is traditionally defined as a short, thick post on the deck of a ship. Though, of course, you can't say short or thick anymore, can you? Okay, that's round 1, Sean. You did so well. Let's look at the stats, Matt.
No passes, no plurals. Yep. 5 Krankenpunkte for each of those facts, and only 9 to go. 6 was the highest number in that round.
How does that compare?
Well, not since the 80s.
Good. That just leaves us with one final riddle. We should have timed this just right, Sean. Every 75 years or so, he swings by, doesn't he? Let's bring out Halley's Comet. Oh, there he is. In the sky. He's approaching, Sean. It's Halley's Comet. Remember, just once every 75 years or so, he passes within earshot of the Earth. If we're lucky, Sean, and we've timed it just right, we should be able to hear today's question as he passes by. Hello, Halley's Comet.
Hello.
Oh, you're looking great up there. What's the question? Okay, we've missed him. We'll do this again in 75 years. Matt, an alternate question, please, for the mug and the tickets.
Okay, complete the sentence. We are...
XFM.
Frankenhaus.
Yeah! Yeah! He's done it! Oh, man. That was terrific. Terrific work there, Sean. I've never seen someone rip Stinkle Bugle like it.
We are
XFM.
So, I noticed this when you were clicking along to the point. I like that. It's good, adding your own jazz a cappella, jacapella. You in your news, you mentioned this.
Yeah.
That Apple have sent out a press release, haven't they?
Yes.
Just saying what? Just saying... Rock up next week.
7th of March, next Wednesday, yes. There will be something that you'll want to look at and touch.
You know what it is, don't you? It's a lovely puppy.
I was wondering what it was.
It's going to be a lovely puppy.
Yeah.
It's the only thing it can be.
Look at and touch,
They're going to get a press conference going, they're going to get the world's media down there, have a little curtain, they'll unveil it, it'll just be a lovely little puppy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little mouse dressed as Napoleon.
Yeah.
What would you like to look at and touch?
I was thinking maybe a brand new space hopper.
Because
it looks good, but you also want to touch it because you've got to ride it.
That's true. Or Monty Don. I always think it could be Monty Don.
Yeah.
People like looking at Monty Don, don't they?
And we all want to touch him.
Well, when do you get the chance? When do you get the chance to touch Monty Don?
Yeah, exactly.
Never. Well, the Apple Corporation are sorting that out.
It's happening in San Francisco next week.
Is it in San Francisco?
Yeah.
You've got to go all that way just to touch Monty Don.
I know.
This is this
pilgrimage.
They're fools to themselves, these people. Where's the business? Where's the business in that?
Yeah.
It's not sustainable, Matt.
No.
XFM.
Hit the jazz bed, Dave. So we're asking you right now, give us your £5 flat fee fines. This is our own system of ordering the country, isn't it, in many ways, Dave? It's kind of... You get things off your chest. We all agree that we should charge £5 for any of these misdemeanours, and then we add them to the list that we're going to be sending to the mayor very shortly. But Matt, if I had to ask you, what's your flat fee £5 fine, what would you say in response?
Today, mine would be for the people from the PPI Claims Call Centre who keep trying to contact me on my landline at home almost every flaming evening of the week. You better have some payment protection insurance for the £5 fines you'll be getting from now on.
£5 fine.
I made the mistake of showing an interest once, and now they won't leave me alone.
Never show an interest.
I
sponsored a snow leopard. I now have to avoid these calls every evening from the same number asking me to sponsor more of these snow. I got one snow leopard. That'll do, surely, for now.
But
that's not my £5 fine.
Because my missus has got an old retro phone. Like, it looks good, but the functionality's rubbish. You can't see the numbers that are coming in, so I can't screen it.
And it wakes your infant child.
Yeah, exactly.
Wakes your infant child. £5 every time that happens. Ooh. Dave.
Oi, fellow marathon runner, set your own pace. Don't just sit on my bumper for 13.1 miles. Yeah. Either overtake or back off. It's taken me months of training to figure out my preferred speed, only to then be hijacked by a lazy sheep of a runner.
Yeah,
£5, please.
Yeah. Stop Dave jacking.
Yeah.
Don't Dave jack. Hey, people such as confirm Mr. Cat from Leverstock Green, formerly, of course, Cat from Bushy. If you want to avoid another 5-minute ban from the XFM Breakfast Show, stop putting .com at the end of words which accurately describe how you're feeling without the internet-based suffix. Last week, you were smug.com. We banned you for 5 minutes. Today, you're moving house, which is great, but you're excited.com. That's another 5-minute ban and a £5 flat fee fine.
In the sin bin.
Listen, in the sin bin, that's what happens, you know, don't...
And fined. That's a double punishment. That's quite
It's a double punishment, isn't it? Oh, she's going to be annoyed.com,
isn't
she?
She won't be listening to us again.
No, we may have actually lost a listener today.
She'll be back in 5 minutes. She'll just, you know, they're very attentive. What she'll do is she'll just turn the radio off for 5 minutes, and in 5 minutes, she'll rejoin us.com. She knows the rules.
XFM.
Cheryl Cole has written a novel.
Really?
What's happening here? Whoa, what's with the disparaging chuckle? What's with the disparaging chuckle there?
I didn't know she was a writer.
Well, not just a writer, a novelist.
Yeah,
a novelist now.
She's gone straight in.
One of the hardest things to do. I've just written a novel, and it's not easy. So I'm pleased to join the ranks of Britain's novelists.
Yeah.
Like Cheryl Cole, Martine McCutcheon, of course, Danielle Lloyd, I would imagine, one of those. Right up there. Cheryl Cole made history with her last book, the autobiography, because it was, I think it was the first audiobook that had ever been mined.
It's a good one.
Just take a moment to enjoy that joke. XFM. Me and Dave yesterday, after the show, after the important broadcast, we went to a hotel, into Claridge's, where we went, where we met Mark Wahlberg. We were there to talk to the A-list star about his new film. We're going to play that at a more relevant time, you know, when the film is coming out.
Okay,
They sort of embargo. They don't let you play the interview out straight away. Obviously, they want it to be relevant to the film.
Fair enough. But
we didn't just talk about the film. It was a very unusual discourse that we found ourselves entering into with Mr. Wahlberg, who had been out the night before.
Nice.
That's all I'm saying. He'd been out the night before. Quite a late night. In fact, in many ways, it felt like the night hadn't ended. It felt like it was morning for us, and yet it was still the night before for Mr. Wahlberg. I'm not, you know, casting any aspersions whatsoever. It was a very unusual interview. And after the interview, I bumped into there was a cameraman then, a guy I sort of know, and I said, "This is quite an unusual interview." And he looked at me and said, "It's been a very unusual morning." So I thought I'd just play you just one little example of the type of discussion we had.
Yes, his sucking brother-in-law.
I'll be honest, Mark. We may have to bleep certain elements of this interview.
What, brother-in-law? You can't say brother.
Yeah, we're very against that.
Holy. Man, you can't say brother-in-law on the radio.
This is
now, Howie.
And it was pretty much like that.
Wow.
I would say for the full 10, 15 minutes of, I mean, Dave, your bleep button.
Yeah.
You have to buy a new bleep button.
It's working overtime.
It really is.
He was relentless.
Oh, I could just see Dave's little fingers, just twitching with nerves.
Wow.
Like his trigger finger, his bleep button finger. Just going crazy.
Foul-mouthed.
And we bumped into Kate Lawler, celebrity confirmed listener Kate Lawler. Turns out to be listening to the show.
Oh, good.
So that's great. I always cough twice when mentioning Kate Lawler. It's like a superstition thing.
Yeah. We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
Quastrology.
Good morning, my name is confirmed listener Sean, and I've just won QuizFace. I was one of the lucky ones. As until yesterday, I was a minority shareholder in Krankenhaus GmbH, the original German developers of the Quastrology format. All was well with the company until Klaus announced a new deal with a UK mystery buyer, as he described as a minor regional radio personality. On some Tim Prott station, he would not tell me his name, because he assured me I would not have heard of him. But mere moments later, this UK mystery buyer brought the company to its knees. We are in ruins. But on the plus side, I have won a small mug. Thank you, XFM. Thank you, minor regional radio personality, Danny Wallace. Hey, hang on. We are
XFM. You blagged your little heart out last night, didn't you?
Wow, yeah.
At the NME Awards.
To a degree.
You were supposed to be working the red carpet.
Yeah, so I did that, but then, and then Baby Dave was on a table.
Yeah, a table. You were going to sit on your own on a table.
Yeah.
Not on your own.
No.
That makes it sound like there's a children's table. That'd be brilliant. Just loads of tables and one little children's table at the side with Baby Dave.
Yeah.
But you turned around and you were confused to see Matt Dyson suddenly just making himself at home.
Matt there tucking into the pizza and drinking the wine.
I had a word with some people. I shake the right hand and managed to get through.
Really?
Yeah.
So you got there, you blagged your way in.
By hook and by crook, I managed to get in there.
And did you have a great night?
I didn't have the correct lanyard, though, round my shoulders, so I was constantly slightly nervous that the security would spot me and
I saw your lanyard. It had a little picture of Jack Nicholson on it.
Yeah.
I don't know how you thought you'd get away with that.
I thought me and him, you know, like one flew over the cuckoo's nest era, Jack Nicholson and me, quite similar.
Yeah. Very complimentary to yourself. Well done. Dave, have you ever been anywhere that you shouldn't have been?
Well, my good friend actually at Reading Festival.
Okay, so it's one of those good friend stories.
Yeah, yeah, right. I don't want to give his name. It wouldn't be fair.
It was Dave Masterman.
It wasn't Dave Masterman, but he thought he was locked out of the campsite because he'd had a few about one in the morning. But it wasn't the campsite. The campsite was a bit further down, which was fully open. Yeah. It was actually the BBC enclosure, which was very high security and was on air and was you're not really allowed in there.
Yeah.
And so he crawled under the fence thinking that he was trying to get into the campsite. Very honestly thinking he was trying to get into the campsite.
Okay, yeah. Very honestly breaking an entrance.
Yeah, exactly, but not realising.
Yeah.
And before he knew it, he had flashlights on him, the police were there, and he got kicked out of Reading.
Really? Oh, poor you.
But he left me at Reading festival on my own. I woke up with no chum.
Really? Just on the children's table again?
Yeah.
Just on your own. Probably turned around, Matt Dyson sat down with some more pizza that he's blagged, would have thought. I once found myself in a lift with the Crown Prince of Norway. Right. And the best thing about the Crown Prince of Norway is his name is Harkon. Oh, which makes him sound like Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah,
Harkon, Crown Prince of Norway. I wasn't staying at this hotel, but I was illegally using their bar and pretending I was a guest. I had to get down there, you had to get a lift, and suddenly I'm in there with Harkon, which was a terrific place to be. But I wonder if... then I turned around, Matt Dyson just walks in eating a pizza. We are...
XFM.
Now it is time for the good news in the studio. And that was Paul's good news. It's always good news to speak to a Paul. I've noticed another trend, though. Another trend. I don't just have men called Paul listening. Get a lot of teachers, get a lot of naughty teachers. And we've got, like, three teachers, all of whom are called Charlie.
Yeah.
Charlie seems to be the hot new teacher name.
Ooh.
Two of the Charlies are trainee teachers, of course. We have got some good news in from a Charlie who is not a trainee, a fully-fledged teacher. We'll get to that in a moment. First, though, Matt, what is your good news?
Well, good news, guys. I've been hiding my vocal talents from the world for too long.
Yeah.
My hauntingly evocative and soulful singing voice was unleashed on the world earlier thanks to the visionary talent spotter that is Daniel Wilfred Duchesne Wallace.
Well, it was Dave, really.
And Dave, yeah. Some of the feedback on the text machine saying a beautiful voice, sultry, better than the original.
Yes.
Hopefully now I can get some kind of record deal,
yeah.
Or maybe a cruise ship contract.
I think that's more likely.
Okay.
Haunting, what a lovely word to use for that as well. Haunting is just a step away from horrifying, isn't it? Dave, what is your good news?
Good news, guys. I crumbled to the laws of corporate bull nonsense yesterday and began
ease your language.
And began firing off cliched words and phrases left, right and centre during a rather pointless meeting. Let's stay ahead of the curve, guys. Let's take care of the furniture first. We should build the foundations of our cake before we begin icing it. And I see this as a share builder rather than a potential radar spike. All ridiculous sentences I said yesterday. The good news being my colleagues not only understood my sentiments, but actually agreed with me, even though I'm not 100% sure I agreed with or understood them myself.
Yeah, they didn't know what you were saying. They had no idea. Good news, guys. I've inexplicably been invited to take a tour of Bovington Tank Museum in Dorset. Now, never have I once mentioned either a love of tanks nor any form of affinity with Bovington, but an invite to a Bovington Tank Museum was nevertheless forthcoming. I look forward to taking these people up on their offer, taking the 120.4-mile drive down Britain's M3, turning off at Tout Hill, then Bovington Lane, before beginning my tank-based voyage of discovery at the Tank Museum itself. What tank-based nuggets will I pick up? Will I enjoy the recommended trench walk or the ride upon the Challenger 2? Will I enter the tank library, though that does require an extra £10 admission charge and an appointment. Who knows? One thing I do know is I'm taking Matt and Dave with me.
Yes.
Let's get tanked up in Bovington.
Good
news, everybody.
We are
XFM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Apple iStore. Thank you for coming, guys. Now, we recently told you we'd be unveiling something you'll want to look at and touch. Here it is. It's Connie Huck riding a tiny yellow horse.
Connie
Huck. XFM. A lot of very angry people out there this morning, but hopefully we'll turn this anger into joy, Matthew Dyson.
Yes.
Into pure joy on the XFM Breakfast Show by instigating our flat fee £5 fine system.
Mm.
So, Matthew, what do people think other people should be charged £5 for?
Confirm listener Alex, people who suffix feelings with .com should be forced not only should not be just pay a £5 fine, but also be forced to build and maintain that chosen site for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Gosh, so that would be a 5 minute fine from the show, £5, and you'd have to give up your job and all your hopes and dreams in order to develop a website that no one's interested in.
Yeah, you have to own that domain name.
Tough. Deal with it. Deal with it, .com.
If you don't like it, don't say it, .org.
The Tommy in Becerra in Spain simply says this. Look, The welcome information clearly states breakfast finishes at 9.30, so why on earth do some guests come down at 9.40? Plus, the cheek of them to order pancakes for the disruptful children. £5 each, please. Very specific hotel-based anger in Spain. And I suppose they're an hour ahead, so he's just been through this, hasn't he? Just 40 short minutes ago, this happened in Becerra. Hope you're all right, Tommy. What else?
Danny, I would fine any road cyclist wearing Lycra. You are not in the Tour de France. You are just a public nuisance and an embarrassment to your family.
Wow.
Confirm listener Lynn.
Strong words. Confirm listener Jeff in Brighton. £5 for any white vans with "I wish my wife was this dirty" written on the back. Was funny many years ago, he says. It is no longer funny.
Yeah, not the van driver's fault, though, always, is it?
Not always the van driver's fault. No, they shouldn't suffer for the witless banter of others. What else, Matt?
People who use child and parent and child car parking spaces at the supermarket when they have no children.
Uh-huh.
That's a good one. Anyone who texts the show with long words to suck up to the host. Their sycophancy makes me bilious.
That's a double. Immediate £5 fine for anyone who takes two turns at a cash machine when there's a big queue.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is something we can get behind. Yeah. £5. In fact, the cash machine should recognise the card and the PIN number and immediately just dock the £5 from your account.
Yeah. There's a big queue. Don't check your balance. Don't do anything else. Just get the cash out.
Just crack on. There's people behind you. Flat fee £5 fine for people who accumulate white spittle in the corner of their mouths. They say at the end, no need.
Well, yeah, I don't think
they're doing it on purpose.
No, that's going,
well, what I need right now? A little bit of spittle just to lubricate the side of my mouth. A little bit of dry. It does get dry that, though, sometimes, doesn't it? In harsh weather, inclement weather. What else? This is such an odd programme. Go on, man.
£5 flat fee fine for radio DJs who introduce songs that have been played four times a day for the last month as the brand new song from.
Absolutely.
That's from Colin and Rob. Slaving away in the Potter's Bob.
Is he really? Yeah. We are... Good news, guys. I met someone from Blubber Houses near Menwith Hill, North Yorkshire last night.
Really?
Imagine my delight when I said, "Where are you from?" And he replied, "Blubber Houses." "Where?" I said. "Blubber Houses," he said. "Blubber Houses," I said. "Blubber Houses," he replied. That's the name of the place," I said. "Blubber Houses." "It is," he replied, perhaps sensing my impish enjoyment of the word Blubber Houses. "It's called Blubber Houses," he reiterated. "Goodness," I said, staring into the middle distance, my sense of what could now be achieved in life radically altered, my sense of all that was possible now slapped about the face, challenged and proved wrong. "Blubber Houses," I said softly. It's good news. We've been asking you this morning after Matt blagged his way onto a table at the Enemy Awards last night with a free pizza. Was the pizza free? Did you have a free pizza, or did you bring the pizza home?
There was lots of free pizza.
I see.
It was there.
This wasn't one of the pizzas you keep in your pocket.
Which was bad, because I'd already had free pizza for breakfast.
I had, thanks to a well-known high street chain yesterday. So we're asking you for your blags. What have you blagged? Where have you been that you shouldn't have been? Joe from Dartford's been in touch.
Whoa.
Don't worry. He says that his blag, his dad blagged his way into the FA Cup Winners Lounge, had his picture taken by the club photographer holding the cup, and convinced him to post it to his house as he was too drunk to get it home himself.
Wow.
"In the picture," says Joe, "he can barely stand." It runs in the family. I bet Joe's dad is called Joe as well. It's just a long line of Joes from Dartford's. This is quite extraordinary, this one. It feels like it's come out of something like Only Fools and Horses, or some classic 70s film, or some sort of Cannon and Ball film, The Boys in Blue. I hope this is true. It's anonymous. "My father," another dad blag, "blagged his way onto the pit at Le Mans in 1983, Le Mans, when they painted a classic Citroën van with the French emergency service emblem, which looked a bit like the ones on their ambulances, then placed four blue painted honeypots on the roof, right, to look like little sirens. They then proceeded to make ambulance noises, and they got let into the security area. A little classic, they say. Not sure it would happen now. Absolutely not.
You've got to try these things. It's all about the confidence.
It's all about the confidence.
Jake,
says the master blagger.
Jake, for example, managed to talk his way into watching Nero in Coco from the sound desk because he said he was responsible for the lighting.
That's great. No one's going to question that. Confirmed listener Matt of London Marble Limited, what's yours?
Yeah, well, me and two mates are travelling in Thailand. And I recognised this guy was sort of signing up extras.
Right.
And I'd done it before in the UK when I was younger, and I thought, I reckon I could get us on there. So yeah. I blagged our way onto the coach.
What happened?
Next thing we know, we're in sort of like head-shaved, full GI army get-up.
I see.
In a movie. Right. Bill Paxton's the main star.
Okay, so what...
And stood on a sort of massive big airplane with him. Walk out of the airplane and then... Yep. Sort of like a few other scenes were in, helicopters and explosions going off.
Matt, what?
It's quite funny. Yeah, right. I mean, essentially, the film was about...
Fade back down.
...some war vet or something.
Another Matt from Chiswick, he says, I did the same blagcident as Matt. Blagcident's taken off as a phrase, isn't it? Not only was I in the wrong section of the enemy awards and mingling with people beyond my means, I was not supposed to be there at all, as I blagged a free ticket from work, an excellent night resulting in me sleeping behind a KFC and having my photo in the enemy the following week. Is Matt from London Marble Limited, is his story still
dressed up like American GIs,
right?
And we had to basically walk out of the plane, follow him as if we were his cadets.
And
he went off and shook hands with some other sergeant.
Fading down again. Matt, what else is going on?
Confirm listen to Paul.
Exclusively Matt stories.
Paul, let's go to a Paul.
Okay,
on,
good.
Let's pull it back with a Paul. In Balham, this Paul.
Yeah.
He once managed to get into the 2005 Champions League final players' party in Liverpool. He was out on a work stew in the same hotel as the Liverpool football team. They all got a bit squiggly, he says, and decided to pay them a visit. Next thing I know, I'm stood at the urinal next to Stephen Gerrard, telling him I love him.
Wow. Confirmed listener Fran says, I managed to sneak into the back room of a club where Gary Powell from the Libertines and Jay from the Inbetweeners were DJing and drank a few of their beers with them. Then Matt Dyson popped in with a pizza. That's the new catchphrase that we're looking for. Rachel, we've had a Paul, we've had Fran, we've had Joe from Dartford. Let's get another naughty teacher. Rachel, the naughty teacher in Brixton, says, I blagged myself into a house party at the Bulgarian embassy. The ambassador chatted my friend up using the line, Jenny, you're like Jenny from the block.
Wow.
Rachel, the naughty teacher, finishes that text just by saying, I stole some soap. It's work. Matt from London Marble Limited. We're near the end of that story.
And then when we got back to the UK, sort of like some year later, we got the movie out, and we could just about see ourselves for a second.
He's in there. He made it into the
camera.
He blagged his way into
Kenneth Branagh down. Hamlet we'll before right. before I went out travelling.
Okay, we'll talk later. We'll talk later, Matt.
XFM.
We just did good news in the studio, and we did the good news of the good people listening, didn't we? And we had a little clip of confirmed listener Jack, of course. All our confirmed listeners. What the heck was that? What was that? I just turned around and Matt.
Sorry.
Oh, you sneezed.
I tried to muffle it.
You muffled your sneeze very well, but it looked like you were having some kind of attack. You span around, you went away from me, your hand was up against one of the walls. Everyone was just staring at you. I'm trying to hold the attention of the people listening. I couldn't even do it in the studio because everyone was watching you muffle a sneeze.
Well, at least the listeners didn't hear it, and that's the main thing.
Yes, never draw attention to these things. That's my rule. So anyway, our confirmed listeners, such as, you know, confirmed listener George, the master plumber, and Amir, his sidekick, you know, they all got in touch. All the confirmed listeners this morning, it's been great. But confirmed listener Jack, who is normally embarking, and is today in Lowestoft, he had this to say, didn't he?
Good news, guys. Today I'm working in a lighthouse. I normally work embarking.
Yeah, and it's quite a specific piece of good news, isn't it? He's working in a lighthouse. It's a delightful thing. Probably one of the few people in the country working in a lighthouse today, I would say. We know there's fog in Boreham Wood. There's no need for lighthouses there. So we rang him out, didn't we? We ring people up and we say, oh, can we just quickly record your good news to play it, don't we, Dave?
Yeah, we do. That's exactly what we do.
And there was a slight confusion between you and Jack. Because you said we got your text saying that you're working in a lighthouse and you normally work embarking. And this happened.
Jack, so just give us your good news. Good news, guys, I'm working in a lighthouse today. I normally work in Barking.
sorry, you broke up there.
So just say, good news, guys, I'm working in a lighthouse today. I normally work in Barking.
Yeah, that's
Simon's
good news.
No, that's what we want you to say. That's what we want you to say.
The sweetest thing ever.
XFL.
Now, you know, last night, Dave.
Yes, I do.
You had quite a good time, didn't you?
I had a great time.
You had a terrific time.
Yeah, I was in my element.
A gay old time, just running around at the Emmy Awards, having fun, eating free pizza, didn't you?
Yeah.
Singing along.
Having fun responsibly.
Having fun responsibly. Matt was there, of course. Matt was there.
Yep.
Dave and Matt, out on the town together. The Emmy Awards, having fun.
Yeah, that's good.
Gay old time, having fun, running around, punching the air.
Did you not fancy it?
Me?
Mm.
Well, no. No, I wasn't. I mean, technically, I wasn't invited. I mean, you guys, you were invited, of course. But it's cool. Sorry. Yeah, I'm not. I have fun. I make my own fun.
Yeah.
You know, I'm busy as well. I'm very busy.
You are always very busy, yeah. That's true.
Very busy right now. So I didn't need to do that, no. So I was just at home. I was just kicking back at home. You know how we record everything that we do always? And
yeah.
I was recording my thoughts last night, my wisdom, my philosophies. I've always got the Hovis music on in the background of my
that's
house.
Weird.
Because I find it... It's not weird. It's not weird. I find it inspiring. I find it gentle and inspiring. And you, of course, you record everything you do.
Yeah, it's a pact, isn't it?
It is a pact. It's a pact. It's a two-man pact. So what we did was we got Matt to just splice the two worlds together.
Oh,
see
good.
Who has the better time. Like I say, I'm busy, you know, so I'm cool. It'd be interesting to see what you get up to then. So here's last night as lived by me and Dave.
My own little rave.
Get in there, son! Get in there, son! Get in there, son!
No hydrogenated fats, artificial colours or flavours. Look at that. He's by 16th of October. Little Dave's probably in bed by now.
Jerry, Dave, where are you going?
Bedtime now, of course. Stop a little wind down.
E97.3. Steve Allen's Little Bit Extra.
Morning, everybody. Well, after we evicted everybody from Santa.
That's how we roll. That's how we roll at the Rockin' XFM.
We are
XFM.
A teacher, an English teacher, has quit school. He's had enough. Mr. Grist has he can take no more of teaching English, mainly because, and this is going to be a film one day, surely, he beat one of his students in a rap battle. Right? I don't know how this rap battle happened. Do they just happen, rap battles? Do you know, like dance-offs?
Yeah,
dance-offs can happen at any time,
really,
can't they?
Yeah.
But rap battles, I wasn't aware that they... Anyway, a rap battle broke out between MC Blizzard, who I'm going to call McBlizzard, who's 17, and Mr. Grist of Peterborough. He started using rap in class, right, to get kids interested in poetry.
Right.
I imagine that's when the rap battle itself broke out.
Yeah.
And McBlizzard, he tried to diss... Mr. Grist. He was a Mr. Grist disser.
Yeah.
And McBlizzard went for it. Let's hear McBlizzard first.
I heard teacher versus student battle, and I wasn't going to class. I get to battle that nerdy who failed at controlling a class. You I hope you drop dead. If I punch you in the face, who are you going to call? Ofsted?
Oh! And he was all like, in your face, Mr. Grist.
Wow.
I'm a Mr. Grist diss. Yeah.
Blizzard's
I'm
good.
A Blizzard, yeah.
That's good stuff.
And he's using swear words, wasn't he? And we bleeped some
really
of that
do
out.
Do that in a GCSE English class, should
shouldn't
you?
Be doing that. No, shouldn't be doing that. But Mr. Grist, he hit back with this.
To those at home who are sitting, watching YouTube, don't start clicking. I know this might look like some kind of extreme babysitting. It is.
This blizzard litter's got no fire, it's just hot air he's breathing, and when all's said and done, as the years drag on, you look even more like Deborah Meaden.
In your face, yeah. In your face, McBlizzard. So he's quit, and he's now in a group called Dead Poets, which fuses rap music with poetry and performs at venues nationwide. Still works as a supply teacher when not on tour. Oh, that's good. Just a freelance rapper, just walking around rapping. Is that a job?
Wow.
Can you just be a freelance rapper?
Someone just happened to be recording this rap battle as well.
Yeah, oh, well, that's what happens with the YouTube generation, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
A rap battle breaks out. It's on YouTube 5 minutes later. So, in your face, McBlizzard. Don't dismiss to Grist. Was that a rap, technically, what I just did?
I think so, yeah. I think you were freestyling.
I was, wasn't I? Yeah, I'm always freestyling, mate. We are
XFM.
Let's play Early Learning X-List.
We are XFM.
Overwhelmingly, one of our most popular features, this. Overwhelmingly. It's my infant son singing XFM-style songs. For example, you may have heard him pop up there during Lana Del Rey.
Go play your video things.
Maybe the other day you heard him pop up when we were playing Band of Skulls.
Something good.
He loves that one.
That's everyone's favourite, that one.
Yeah. But what was he singing today?
When you're dead, don't see for food. You, that's the goal.
Let's cross live to confirm this. Now, Marnie. Marnie, are you there?
Hiya, I'm here.
Hello, Marnie. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
We had many guesses. Someone saying Noah and the Whale, someone else saying Florence, someone else saying Spice Girls, someone else inevitably saying the Kooks. But what do you think it is, Marnie?
I thought it was Blur, the Universal.
You're saying Blur, the Universal. Let's find out.
The words are wrong.
Hey. Does it? When you're dead, don't sing for you. That's the goal.
Oh, well done, my little boy.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Time then to look back at the last nearly 3.5 hours of important broadcasting and work out what we've learned today. I wonder, Dave, what have you learned today?
Yes, well, my name came in very useful for entertainment purposes off air today, yes. As we all had fun placing my name in other phrases and sentences.
Terrific fun.
Yeah, loads of fun. Suggestions from the team included best Dave of your life,
yep.
Dave's a forgotten,
yep.
A Dave in the life,
yeah.
And Dave's of thunder. Programme associate Steve then went too far with thank you for the Daves, unfortunately, so he had to leave the room.
It's very unfortunate, wasn't it? That
one too far.
He went quiet for a moment, he just lifted his shoes and turned around and left. That's a game, of course, you can play at home. You don't have to be a Dave to enjoy that. Matt.
A real-time update for you.
Yes.
Joseph Barton, a.k.a. Joey Seven Barton.
Big Joe
the
B.
The QPR midfielder and self-styled culture vulture has been tweeting about XFM in the last half hour to his 1.2 million followers. He may well be listening right now, in fact.
Right, welcome along, Joey Barton.
Hi, Joey. After appealing for an alternative to the drivel on a rival, uniquely funded radio station and a slightly younger, more mainstream demographic.
Absolutely, well done. On today's show, well, we saw me realise how little I know about the world as we talked of the name Cayley, invented in the mid-1980s by Marillion frontman Fish, the Essex town of Rayleigh, which rhymes with Cayley, the North Yorkshire village of Blubberhouses, and Bovington Tank Museum, which we haven't really mentioned on air, but which we will talk about in intricate, almost annoying detail tomorrow. Today's show was brought to you by the letter S, which stands for Stop Singing, Dyson.
We
XFM.
Well, that was podcast number 31 from the XFM Breakfast Show with me, Danny Wallace. Remember, you can listen live every morning of the week from 6:30 on 104.9 FM on DAB or online at xfm.co.blah, blah, 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 blah. Bye!
Yes, we are XFM. Danny Wallace!